I think it's almost night and day when you bring on someone that has working knowledge of the topic that, that you're about to discuss, right? Because, like, regardless of ability or current level, right, like, effort really only carries you so far. Hey, happiness hustlers. Recently, Ben and I have been talking a lot about side business ideas. And although we haven't determined what direction we want to go, this has given us a lot of time to think about, you know, what makes a good business idea viable. You know, like, I've talked to plenty of people about businesses before, and more have failed than the number that actually, like, got started, or, you know, how we started meeting for it. So it brings up a good question, like, what makes an idea viable in your mind to the extent that you're willing to, you know, put money where your mouth is, so to speak, or, you know, start dedicating time on a regular basis to give fuel to that idea and maybe carry it to fruition. So, Ben, you know, I know you are an entrepreneur of many ideas, as well as current ventures. So let's start with you. You know, what makes an idea interesting in your book, and you know, what makes it, like, more than just interesting? What do you look for?
Well, I think I like to take this back a step to what your goals are when you're even considering starting a business or a side hustle. So there's a lot of different routes you can take here. But basically, it's like, what are your goals? Are you trying to just earn a little extra money on the side? Are you trying to transition to making an income from something that you're passionate about, which could be like a career change or something? Or are you just, like, scratching an itch where, like, you found maybe a need in the market, or, you know, something that, like a pain point in your day-to-day life that you want to solve? It's not necessarily, like, your passion, but it's a problem that you want to solve. So there's a few different, like, approaches to that. There could also be just, like, the basic idea of, like, you are trying to exploit an opportunity in the market. So may not be something that you're passionate about or interested in, but you see, like, a money-making opportunity and you want to just invest in that with your time and resources. So I think the first step is to figure out what your goal is, and then from there, look at ideas that fall within that are in alignment with that goal. Does that make sense? Is that a good place to start?
Starting to rethink my approach. I think it's a great place to start because it offers people a window, you know, into your mindset, right? Your requirements. And I think that's exactly what we're here to talk about this week. I don't know. I think I still do consider a lot of the things that you stated just now, right? Mm-hmm. But I think I would kind of quickly summarize mine as like a gut feeling in the beginning, right? Like, am I passionate about the idea, right? Can I see is it something that I normally use? Is it something that I can see myself doing? Is it something that I can see myself picking up in the future, right? Like, because, you know, basic rule of thumb for myself, it's like, if I can't imagine myself doing, holding, you know, playing with or whatever, this idea, whatever it may be, right? Then I really have no business being around it, regardless of how fruitful it may be in the future. You know, like, I'm sure a lot of us may not mind being bandwagoners, but, you know, I don't know. It's just something that, like, I feel like through my own personal conscience, if I can't offer anything to nurture the idea in any way, then I probably don't deserve to be on that team, you know? And it's not to say that I can't grow that passion, right? But that, I think that's what I'm here for, right? I'm trying to find something I'm passionate about. So I don't want to have to work on it, right? Like it becomes something exciting for me. So right off the bat, like that's the first requirement that an idea would need to pass. Well, yeah, am I passionate about it? Can I see myself using it? That kind of thing. And the second thing is it actually helpful, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's plenty of ideas that seem cool in the moment, but when you really think about it, like, does it really solve anything? Does it solve a need? Does it solve like a curiosity? Does it scratch an itch, right? To use your own words. And if the answer is no to any of these things, it's not an or statement, you know? It's not this or this, and then we move forward. For me, it has to be, because I have so little kind of requirements off the bat, I go off a gut feeling, it has to cover like all two or three of these bases that I'm immediately thinking of, right? And the third thing would be effort level, right? Like,
okay,
is this something, you know, if I can't offer something to it, what is it? And how much of it and how long, you know? Like, if it's something that I can't really like sink my teeth into, then it's not really worth it. So like initial gut reaction, I'm not thinking about how much money you can make because I don't even know what it is yet, right? But I'll definitely give more merit to an idea if, you know, I'm passionate about it, I have the skill set to help with it, and I'm able to afford the kind of the contribution level that's expected of me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some good metrics. I think on the point about being passionate about it, you know, there's well, let me back up a step. So one of the first things I mentioned was like just making extra money on the side. I think an option there is not necessarily starting a business, but could be working for someone else. So like when we were saving up to buy our first house, I was delivering pizzas on the side. That was one of my side hustles. But I, you know, I wasn't making the pizzas. I was working for local pizza company and just doing deliveries for them. So if your goal is to just make some money on the side, then maybe passion isn't necessarily a key component, or maybe it's a passion for what it will help you achieve in the end. So for example, our goal is to get the house. I'm not passionate about delivering pizzas, although I like eating them. But the end result, the goal that we had that helps us achieve was what drove that, and what allowed me to do it for an extended period of time. So that's, I guess, my first caveat there. But that beyond that, if you're you don't have that kind of end goal in mind, or you're starting a business to do on the side or to eventually replace your career or something, being passionate about it is, I think, an important, I hesitate to say it's always necessary, but I think it is an important component to avoiding burning out on it. And that kind of also ties into the, like you were saying, the effort level, where if you can't sustain putting in the effort because you're not passionate about it, then it's just going to fizzle out and die. And I've experienced this too. You know, it's like, oh, I've got this idea. A lot of it comes, a lot of my examples are blogging examples, where like I just don't have I don't write enough. And maybe that's a skill that I can develop at some point in the future. But writing blog posts was just like never something that I could commit to. I couldn't get it done. And so anything that was like a blog eventually fizzled out and I couldn't sustain it. So, cause that's not, so I'm not like passionate about writing. So, I do think that is a key component there. And that can rule out a lot of things that are just like doing it because it's a market opportunity, you know, cause there's a lot of market opportunities that are really boring that'll make you money. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. For me, they're kind of like one and the same. Like if I, if I don't have passion for something, that means I don't find it interesting, and that means I just gonna lose my attention really quick. Because I remember there were tons, you know, when I was much younger, with a group of like my high school friends, we had all come to the decision that somehow, if we rent out a room at the public library and we all gathered like a board of directors, that we would magically have a business down the road. Didn't work out. Yeah, it was a fun experience, but a terrible experience, and it taught me a lot about just not throwing myself into things just because it sounds cool, right? Mm. Like, if I don't have a passion for it, then I'm not going to care about it at all. Mm-hmm. And if I don't care about it, I might be there simply out of pressure or obligation, mm-hmm. but you're never going to get enough out of me to be worth anything.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you're going to have this puddle of goo where I was. No, that doesn't sound right. Yeah. Nasty byproducts. That's what you're going to get. That's all you're going to get from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So, let's see. I mean, beyond just like passion and like these little, you know, I guess, the person, how much does the person behind the idea matter to you?
Like myself? So, are you talking about like looking at partnering with someone?
Partnering with someone.
Okay.
Words, okay. English, second language.
It's important. I mean, Sorry. Okay. So if I'm looking at myself, let's pull that in.
Yeah.
The person behind the idea. So if I have an idea, maybe it even checks some boxes here. Like, I'm passionate about it. It solves a problem. It's doable, you know, effort level wise. But say it involves a skill that I know I don't have. So it's like, say that
sewing.
Say I'm really passionate about beer, but I'm actually a terrible homebrewer.
Okay.
Okay, right? So like, okay, I'm really passionate about beer. I've got an idea for like a unique beer that doesn't exist in my current market and doesn't take that much effort. You know, it's pretty well documented how to start up a brewery. But if I did it, it wouldn't go well by myself because I know I don't have the skill to execute that. Now, I make some pretty good beer, so this is a nonsensical example. But I think it's important then to add another checklist item or whatever to our list here. Evaluating your own skill set and how that ties into your idea and how much alignment there is between your skills and what it would take to execute the idea. So that could be something where it's like, I've got most of the skills and maybe I can learn the rest or bring someone in to help me bridge the gap or hire some stuff out, that kind of thing. There's some options there. But if it's too big of a discrepancy, maybe you don't execute the idea, or maybe you need to like form a company and bring in talent and you just kind of are the visionary, you know, that's an option. I mean, that's a bigger operation maybe. But definitely a possibility where you could just be the visionary and not the talent. But the context for this is like generally side hustles, small operation, where you're probably going to be executing a lot of it yourself. So, but if you, so to your point, if you were going to partner with someone, I guess from my perspective, if someone else had the idea, and let's say it's, you know, I'm helping execute it. So I'm coming in to help bringing my skill sets. I would also want to be excited about the idea. You know, I could come in and just be like, sure, I'll do the work, but it's like, I could leave it or take it. Like, it doesn't really excite me. I'm probably not going to put in as much effort, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
As a result, you might not make as much money from it because I'm not contributing as much as you were maybe hoping, right? So finding someone to partner with that's also excited about the idea, I think is pretty important, because you both want to be, you want that synergy where you can both be excited about it, bounce ideas off each other, and build the business that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's see. I guess there's also, like, you want to pay attention to, like, personalities, because there can be personality clashes if you're partnering with someone. If it's someone that you know and get along with already, that's great. But if you're, like, I don't know, looking for, you know, you're trying to hire someone and so you're, like, interviewing people, that's something I think you need to pay a little closer attention to and make sure that it's someone that you're going to be able to work with to execute your idea.
Oh, yeah. That personalities is a huge thing that I look for in partners or group members and things like that. Like, if I'm going to work on something together with a group of people, you better be sure that we all get along, you know? That's even at a younger age, that's something that I was really wary about. Like, personally, I'm a more serious person, although I do like to joke around a lot, right? But when things get serious, I'm probably the most serious person there is. At least that's how I think of myself, right? Probably could find someone more serious than me. But, yeah, so seeing, like, another person that maybe, like, likes to joke around as much as I do, kind of bothers me, because I don't know where they stop. I don't know where the humor ends. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah. So, like, just because I'm a joker, I feel like I know when to stop. I know when, like, I can read people if people don't appreciate the jokes that I'm making, or, you know, it's not the right time. Like, my jokes have a time and a place, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be a time when I know we're supposed to be a little bit more on the serious side, or we're having an important meeting, or, like, an executive is going to walk into the room in any minute. You know, you're not going to find me playing any practical tricks and things like that.
Yeah. Right.
Because conflicts happen, you know, much, much easier than you would think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. I mean, we've kind of mentioned this on some previous episodes, along the lines of scratching itch or finding something, like, in your personal life that's a pain point that you're trying to solve. I think the benefit of that approach is you at least have a market of one. Like, worst case, you have solved the problem for yourself and you have increased your happiness in life a little bit, you know?
Yes.
So, like, even if it doesn't pan out as, like, a full business idea, chalk it up to a learning experience and you've solved your problem.
Mm-hmm.
But odds are there's probably someone else out there with the same problem that will also benefit. So it's a matter of then, like, reaching those people. But there's, I guess, like, I like to think of it as kind of like a little safety net. Like, at least I will be happy if I solve this.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that.
That's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of gives you something to, like, lean on in, like, little tough times and things like that.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple things that, so I had initially looked this up, you know, like, kind of what to look for in a partner or, like, a group of partners. So industry knowledge is actually much more important than people might give credit for, right? Like, there's definitely merit to figuring things out as you go, right? But there's also a lot of merit in teaming up with a player that's been in the game longer than you have, you know? So, like, whether your business is more, you know, financial in nature, whether your business is more related to, like, cost of goods, you know, how to work with, like, different factories and things like that. You know, people with that expertise already, you know, I think it's almost night and day when you bring on someone that has working knowledge of the topic that you're about to discuss, right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause, like, regardless of ability or current level, right? Like, effort really only carries you so far. You know, sooner or later, effort has to turn to, you know, practice, and practice has to turn to, like, a honed skill over time, you know, that type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And someone who's been living and breathing and eating in that industry will probably be able to get you the answer much faster than someone who's, like, completely new to it, not knowing what questions to ask or where to look or even where to seek the answers, you know? So, yeah, industry knowledge is definitely one of those things that I think is classically overlooked.
Yeah. I also want to point out, too, you don't necessarily have to, like, partner with people, like, start a business with other people to achieve that. And this is where your network of people really comes into play. Like, you could get a lot done just by knowing the right people and having those conversations and getting connected to the right people. You know, a lot of this, whatever your business idea is, if it depends on industry knowledge and, you know, people with specific skill sets, often you can just, like, meet the right people. Some people are going to be able to share that knowledge with you or point you to someone who can share that knowledge. And then you can contract with the right people with the right skill sets to help you produce the thing. And so it's, you know, the business itself might just be you, but you've made the right contacts and contracted with the right people to make things happen. So I just wanted to clarify that, but your network is important, and that's going to help.
Yeah,
a lot with this.
Network's important, and the ability to build networks, right? Because, like,
yeah,
you know, an earlier conversation this week at a meeting I sat through, it's if you do have a well balanced team for, like, the tasks at hand, sooner or later you're gonna need to branch out, right? It's just it's just part of business. Making new business contacts, maintaining those contacts, meeting new contacts to cover the holes in your business or to strengthen what you have already built, right? So sooner or later, you're going to need people that understand how to communicate, can communicate well, and honestly, even maybe have a track record of communication, right? Because more people they've worked with, easier certain conversations are going to be. The better the understanding of certain industries, ins and outs of, you know, how people work or how certain companies function and how other groups will function, you know, all of that is considered industry experience. All of that is very important.
Yeah. Another thing to consider when thinking about business ideas is how niche it is. So there's a lot of market opportunities out there for very, what's the opposite of niche? Like, broad, I guess.
Not niche.
Not niche.
Yes.
So, like, well, like, I don't know, you could start like a,
yeah,
you could start like a drop shipping company selling t-shirts, but, like, there's also thousands of those out there that are doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, so it's not niche, it's not unique,
right?
So
it has to be the type of shirts or the designs of the shirts or something.
Yeah. So, like, that, but that changes the game, you know, it's more work. So finding a niche market that's, there's going to be fewer people in that market, but those people in the market are going to be more likely to buy the product or the service because it's more specific and those people are more passionate about it than just, like, if you're trying to appeal to everyone. So I think that's also an important thing to consider, like, how broad of a market are you trying to reach with this product? Are you trying to solve everyone's problem, or are you trying to solve a very specific problem for a small number of people? Because if it's, like, if it's a small number of people, but it's, like, a big problem for those people, then you could probably make a lot of money off of it. So I think that's another thing worth considering.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something, you know, in the conversations that we've had about business ideas, that's come up, where we've talked about some very broad market ideas and then some extremely niche ideas, maybe too niche, at some point it just becomes a hobby, right? If it's too niche.
Right, exactly.
It's like I'm the only person that's interested in this. Yeah, but yeah, I think that's a factor. There's a sliding scale there. So consider that. Another thing to think about is like what the marketing would look like. And because I mean, marketing is it's a whole other thing in and of itself, a whole skill set, a whole set of technologies, and keeping up to date with what the latest trends are. And it can be exhausting just to try to do that side of things. So if it's a business idea that is going to require a lot of marketing, that could be, if that's not like something, the marketing is not something that you're passionate about, that might not work out so well. You might not be able to find the audience to sell your product to. But if it's something that could spread by word of mouth, then that's, you save the effort on the marketing side and still grow the business. So kind of seeing where you, again, as a scale, seeing where you land on that, where the idea lands on that scale of marketing, is another thing to consider. You know, like if it's you're trying to earn extra money on the side and you start a lawn mowing business in your neighborhood, like word's going to get around your neighborhood if you're doing a good job, or if you're doing a terrible job, the word's probably going to get around. And you're not going to have to like do, you know, Facebook ad campaigns for your lawn service, but
you never know.
Well, yeah, you never know. And the other thing too, I think that helps with this is finding a niche market. So if you find a, like, you know, I'm going to use the classic underwater basket weaving example. You
just made a face like, how is that a classic?
But I, you know, underwater basket weaving. So you're appealing to the niche market of underwater basket weavers. There's probably, they talk to each other, right? And so that there's word of mouth spreading within that community as well. That you can take advantage of. So, but the broader scale you go out, the broader market you're trying to appeal to, I think the more effort you're going to have to spend on marketing to track down the people that are interested in your product or service. So, those are related in my mind.
Man,
nicheness and marketing.
Nicheness, yes, niche.
There we go. That's what it was, yeah. What were you going to say?
I just had an idea, and it had something to do with something you said earlier, then I blanked out.
Oh, no. Sorry.
This is all terrible.
Oh, I derailed the train.
No. There was something on my mind. Now everybody knows I forgot.
Marketing, niche, word of mouth, lawn mowing.
Lawn mowing. Okay, I'm way off track now. Well, in any case, right, I think whatever business you decide to pursue, however you decide to pursue it, whatever your checklist is for business partners in terms of like what industry you're working in, right? I think that the team of people matters the most, right? While you could bootstrap it, you could do everything yourself, and then you could like work on kind of the dispersal of all your skill sets, you know, to the right people. Mm-hmm. I think there is something to be said about starting a team from scratch. Everyone starts at ground zero at the same time, right? Because I've been through a lot with startups, right? I never thought I would be in the startup scene, really. Or rather, I never thought I would be in the startup scene here, rather than like in Cali or something, right? So, but what, you know, my major thing I've learned is like a lot of small companies start with like two or three people. They make that work for whatever reason, you know, biggest reason is probably because of money. They can't afford to bring on someone else, right? I've always been curious, well, why don't you just promise them something other than immediate payoff, right? I'm sure there's plenty of people, maybe not a lot of people, but there's plenty out there that I think have the same mindset of, you know, yeah, I'll work together with you now in hopes of a big payday later, or worst case scenario, I get a lot of experience from this, you know, from what you have to bring to the table and the other individuals I'll be working with, right? So prioritizing team compatibility, I think, is kind of the last thought that I have on the matter. Like, in order for a business to be truly successful in my mind and not have any sort of hiccups along the way, is to have everyone, you know, start on the same foot. And they have kind of equal control of, you know, whatever area that you've given them to be in charge of. It doesn't stop you from working on or working in more than one area, but I've seen what happens to small businesses when they decide, like, oh, okay, well, we're finally going to bring in this person to handle this big area that we've known that's been missing. Usually it's HR, right? But some other times it's like, I don't know, like the heads of different departments. Like, I know, you know, our first company, they started with like just a bunch of developers and engineers in someone's basement, right? And then like all the other pieces kind of came afterwards, right? But I think as someone who's joined startups after kind of the original team, yeah, you can develop kind of those relationships again in other areas, and sometimes even stronger bonds. But as someone who's joined startups late, like I mentioned, there's always this kind of feeling of like looking from the outside in, right? And then you really have to be good at communication processes and a whole slew of other things to even onboard that person properly. You know, otherwise, they're going to forever be outside of your circle. And I don't think that's a good thing. You know, like I've always kind of imagined it to be like something where it's like, oh, this is inevitable. But I think lack of planning on the team dynamics part of it can also lead to like early failure in any sort of business endeavor.
On the side of doing this solo or small, like say you're not planning to start a team. I mean, I think if you're going to start a team, then it does take some careful planning and careful, whether it's hiring or finding partners, like we were saying kind of at the beginning, pay attention to those personality interactions and that kind of thing. You know, that's pretty valuable. But on the side of doing it solo, you know, as a side hustle, I keep thinking about like we've talked about, you know, work-life balance, work-life rhythm, a number of times on the podcast. And, I guess the final thing to consider is how it's going to impact that. So you're taking on, wow. I don't know what happened.
That's never happened before. Jeez.
In the examples that we're talking about, it's all kind of like on the side, in addition to, say, your day-to-day, your normal day job. So understanding what impact it's going to have on that. How much, what's the time commitment? What's like the emotional commitment? How's it going to impact your family if you've got a family? Those are all important things to consider. That's kind of tangential to the business itself, but it's going to ultimately impact it because we're on these happiness hustle journeys where there's happiness and the hustling at the same time. And those are both important. So I guess to kind of put a bow on it, you got to look at it holistically. So, that's some thoughts around considering business ideas for side hustles. This is a little bit of a like meta episode in our side hustles series. But hopefully this is helpful and we'll kind of play into future side hustle episodes where we can kind of maybe break down some of these bullet points in more detail for specific ideas. So let us know what you think. Let us know if you have any other criteria that you look at when considering business ideas or thoughts on what we laid out here. And yeah, get in touch with us. Hit us up on Instagram at Happiness Hustle Podcast. And you can also leave us a voice message on our website, happinesshustle.studio. We would love to hear from you. And with that, we'll wrap it up and talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye. Hey, Happiness Hustlers. This is... What? Why am I introducing myself? All of a sudden, this is Mike.
Well, this is your host.
Yeah, hey, that's good. Hey, hey. Don't make a low voice when I make a high voice. That's weird.
I'm your host, Ben.
Oh, my God. Hey, Happiness Hustlers. This... What is... how do we do... We'll stop it. Like, I've lost all ability to start this episode. Hey there, Delilah.